Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll pick up again in Ephesians here. Last week we talked about, Larry mentioned in his Lord's Supper meditation this morning, let no unwholesome word proceed from our mouth. We talked that's not just talking about, the church in Ephesus didn't have a bunch of sailors at it, and they just were swearing all the time. What he's talking here, and that word meant rotten. And we went through that last week and talked about how that can be false teaching at times. That can be stuff that's not aligned with the truth. Now, it doesn't mean that swearing wouldn't be in that, but it expands past just that. Just like in verse 28, the stealing expands past the thief. That there's not a whole bunch of thieves in Ephesus that he was dealing with. The idea we talked about is that, hey, you know, sometimes when we're slacking off at work or maybe doing stuff that we're not trustworthy, we might say we're doing something, we don't get it all completely done, or maybe we don't do it at all. When we say we're going to do it, we're really not being trustworthy. We're kind of stealing a little bit from our boss or those who we said we're going to do something for. We're not as trustworthy. And so he goes right into verse 30 here then. And someone want to read verse 30, and we'll start off there.
Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Okay, so the Greek word for grieve, we're going to look at three sections here, three different words we'll look at in this verse. The Greek word for grieve is as lupeo, which means to distress or to grieve. And actually, Jared used it in one of his verses this morning in 1 Peter 3, or 1 Peter 1, verse 6, I think it's when Peter talks about when you're going through various trials or distresses. Okay, but another part, another time in the New Testament we have this translated is in Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And this is talking here about Jesus when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in verse 37 of Matthew 26, let's start in verse 36. 36 and 37, someone read that, please. Don't fight over it. Matthew 26. I turned to 6. Oh, okay. 26, 36 through 37. Did I miss that? I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, so the Greek word in verse 37, the one when it says that he began to be grieved. Okay, so Jesus began to be grieved because of some things that he knew was coming here in the next short time. And so this is comparison when we're talking about not grieving the Holy Spirit, by whom we are sealed for the day of redemption. This idea, this grief is not just necessarily a little pain, you know. Oh man, yeah, God is kind of frustrated with us, but it's still okay, you know, whatever. That's not what he's talking about here. This grieved here is something that's not okay. It's not something that we are wanting to do. We don't want to be grieving the Holy Spirit, for whom we are sealed for the day of redemption. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 19, please.
Do not quench the Spirit.
Okay, do not quench the Spirit. Okay, so the grieving of the Holy Spirit, it's not something. When Paul is warning about grieving him, and so that is telling us, and the way that word is used is not something that's just all kind of something you can, you know, it's fine. It's something that's grieving, and if someone who continues to grieve the Holy Spirit eventually is going to quench or extinguish, that Greek word for quench there means to quench or extinguish the flame, if you will, or quench the spirit within them. Now, that's not that the Holy Spirit leaves us, but it's the person who is quenching him there and is not allowing him to work in his life to help him. And so eventually that is going to happen if we continue to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that the time period of grieving the Holy Spirit, if you want to even call it a time period, is not something you want to really think about and say, well, I wonder what how much time period I have in grieving the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that's not what he is, that's not what the purpose of that is. And that's really a legalist way to look at it. That Paul is saying, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't distress him to the point of you're going to quench him from helping you in your life. There's an example of this in the Old Testament, Isaiah 63. Let's turn back there. Isaiah 63. And Isaiah is writing during a time the nation of Israel has gone so far away from God, and they've gone back and forth a lot of times by this point here. Isaiah is writing, and he looks back a little bit and remembers and writes about when Israel was the firstborn, if you will, as a nation. So we're going to read here in Isaiah 63, verse 7. Through 10.
I shall make mention of the loving kindness of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has granted them according to his compassion, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, sons who will not deal falsely. So he became their Savior. Their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his mercy, he redeemed them, and he lifted them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned himself to become their enemy. He fought against them.
Okay, so Isaiah is referencing back to when Israel was just a babe as a nation, and where God took them up, he saved them, and he talks about how they are sons, they'll not deal falsely. Now, it's not that God was surprised that they fell away or that they rebelled, but the thing is that he took them in the understanding, hey, they're going to listen, okay? And he had the, it wasn't that God didn't have loving kindness, because he talks about that in verse 7. There's the loving kindness, that's what Isaiah is mentioning. God had loving kindness for him. God gave him everything, and yet they rebelled. They grieved his Holy Spirit. And so because of that, he became their enemy. So the God who was their father to start with, when they rebelled, eventually they grieved him enough that he became their enemy. And that's the picture that we're getting here from Israel. And we know how God wiped Israel off the face of the map. And yeah, you can say there's some Israelites now. I don't know how many pure ones there are. There's definitely not what they had back in the glory days of David, if you will, or Solomon, but they eventually pushed God to the limit, to where he was their enemy, and that can apply. There's written for an example for us when we're talking about grieving the Holy Spirit, when Paul actually rather not grieving the Holy Spirit, and the dangers and the warnings of that is that because God was a savior. God was a stronghold for them. God was someone who redeemed them. Okay, and there's some words we're going to look at a little bit later in today's class. He redeemed them. His love and his mercy, in his mercy he redeemed them. And he lifted them up and carried them. But they grieved him. They grieved his spirit and he became their enemy. Turn back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, and we're going to read back, we're going to start a little further back, because we've been over the past several months, we've went from verse 24 to verse 30 here, and it's kind of, we're going to read them again here. Actually, 24 through 29, please. Someone wants to read Ephesians 4, 20 through 29. 24 through 29.
Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth one with your neighbor, so that we are, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear.
Okay, so Paul here, in these verses, encourages them to work on their character, and is encouraging us to work on our character. See, prior to him warning about grieving the Holy Spirit, he is dealing with some character issues that they may need to work on, and reminding them who they are. In verse 24, they That's right. Okay, we're back online now. We're back online. So hopefully we didn't, I don't know how much was missed there, I guess. Okay. So we're on to redemption now in the verse. We're going to look at redemption before we look at sealed. And as I mentioned before, we are redeemed, but we also have a redemption we're waiting for. We are saved, but we also have a salvation we're waiting for. Verse 13 of Galatians chapter 3, 13 and 14, please. Okay, so we're looking at redeemed. We're redeemed by Christ's blood. Okay, and that's true. And we're going to get into this a little bit later, a little bit more detail. But notice what it says there in verse 14. We're redeemed in order to receive the promise, which is the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we talk about grieving the Holy Spirit or not grieving the Holy Spirit, and we talk about the Holy Spirit we have for the day of redemption. See, we are redeemed by the blood of Christ and saved, but the Holy Spirit is given to us for a day of redemption we still have yet to have. Okay, yes, we have the Holy Spirit, and He helps us grow, and there's a lot of detail we can go to in that, but there is still the two redemptions we're talking about. This is, like we say, two salvations. We are saved, but the salvation we're waiting for is when Christ comes back for a salvation without reference to sin, but to take us to our eternal home. Okay, the redemption of the body. And actually, I just got ahead of myself. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. That's where Paul talks about that there. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 through 25, please.
And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even that we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, redemption of our body, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. Hopes for what he already sees, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it.
Okay, so Paul writes here about the redemption of the body. We eagerly await. Well, we are adopted as sons now, but we're still have an adoption. We're waiting for the redemption. We're redeemed now. We still have a redemption of the body we're waiting for. We're saved now, but we still have a salvation that we're waiting for yet. Okay, and this salvation or the redemption here is not in reference to sin. It's in reference to our glorified body, our eternal body, bringing us, Christ coming back for the bride and bringing us to our eternal home. And so when he talks there, is that we are eagerly waiting the redemption of our body. So we talk about not grieving the Holy Spirit, whom we are sealed for the day of redemption. Well, yeah, we already are redeemed, but we're still waiting for that. And so when we look at the religious world, a lot of times we'll reference back to the blood, which the blood is important. And the focus is, oh, I'm saved now, and that's good. And they really don't look at changing. Okay, I'm saved now, so I'm good. And they don't focus on a redemption that's yet to come. And we talk about grieving the Holy Spirit, and Paul writing those things before that about not grieving the Holy Spirit, is that if we're not building that character, we're going to grieve the Holy Spirit, and we're going to lose the seal that we have for the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit is helping us build that character, and if we're not building that character, we're grieving Him. And so that even though people might be redeemed now, those who don't stay faithful won't have the redemption of the body if they grieve the Holy Spirit to quench Him. Turn back to Ephesians 4. Anybody have any comments on the redemption before I move on in this verse again? Okay, so we have We're going to go back to sealed now. So again, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. So that word for sealed means to seal. And it's used a few times in the scripture. One of those times, we turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 64 through 66. Someone read that, please.
Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day, otherwise the disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, he is risen from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go make it secure as you know how. And they went and made the grave secure, and along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone.
Okay, so the word for set a seal on the stone there, in verse 66, is the same Greek word as we're talking about as we are sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Now, this is after Jesus had died here in Matthew 27, and when the Pharisees or the religious leaders were worried about, this is the Pharisees there and the chief priests, worried about the disciples coming and stealing the body of Jesus and saying he resurrected when he really didn't. Okay. And so Pilate went and he set his seal on there, which was a seal that you couldn't break. I mean, you could break it, but if you did break it and you did get found out about it, it was pretty stiff punishment for that, for doing that. And that idea is that it's kind of like Jared talked about, the people would do things in the name of a king or a name of a leader, okay, and by the authority. So it's really Pilate saying, this is by my authority, this is to stay sealed, and no one's to open this tomb, no one's to do this. And so when we talk about the word sealed then, to give us a little bit of perspective on what God is saying there, when we are sealed in the Holy Spirit, he's really stamping us with his seal and saying that we are his. And so the first half of the verse 30 there, when we talked about not grieving the Holy Spirit, and there's an important warning in that, and we kind of touched on that. But another thing we have to move past that and understand, okay, so we're building the character, we're not grieving the Holy Spirit, because he is the one who is our seal for the day of redemption, for judgment day, if you will, or for the day that God returns. And when he returns, I guess I'm going to get too much ahead of myself if I keep commenting. Let's turn ahead, turn to Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 7. Revelation 7, and this is the second section of the book of Revelation, and we'll go back to chapter 6 in a little bit here, but we see a picture at the end of chapter 6 of judgment, and we see, this isn't any story, and you go look in the Gospels too, an example would be in Matthew chapter 2, when Matthew writes about Joseph departing, and he went to Egypt, and then he stayed there until he finished the story about how Joseph went to Egypt and took Jesus and Mary, and then he came back after Pilate died. But then the next verse, he talks about how Pilate found out the Magi lied to him, and so on. So the writer, when you look at the scripture, a lot of times when they're writing, they'll finish the description of the story before they maybe get some talk about some details in the middle of it. Okay, and so this is the will apply here in Revelation 7. So we see judgment day is coming in chapter 6. But for a second there, in the writing here, John is going to first hold up a second here and let's see what happens to the bondservants of God before judgment day comes. So in verse 1 through 3 of Revelation 7, someone read that, please.
Sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads.
Okay, so this word for sealed, again, is the same word we're looking at in Ephesians 4, same word we looked at in Matthew 27. And so when he's talking there, first off, hold up a second here. Don't harm the earth. Don't destroy the earth until the bondservants of our God are sealed on their foreheads. And we go and see in 4 through 7, or 4 through 8, this is talking about the church that's sealed here. Okay, and if you really look at the tribes of Israel, and I'm not going to get into that a lot, there's really no tribe of Joseph, and there's no tribe of Levi in physical Israel. So this is a different picture we get in here in Revelation chapter 7 than the normal 12 tribes of Israel. Just say that just in passing for a second. But we see the bondservants of our God are sealed on their foreheads. Okay? Well, what are they sealed with on the foreheads? Let's turn to Revelation 14. Again, the 144,000, which is symbolic for the church here, a spiritual Israel. Revelation 14, verse 1. Okay, so they have, or I should say, we have spiritually the name of our of God on our foreheads. Now, if we were to read in chapter 13, which we're not going to read today, it talks about the mark of the beast, which is sin, and that's written on the forehead and on the hand. And so, this seal that we have is in opposition to the seal that the sons of wickedness have. It's the opposition to sin. See, the opposition of sin is not necessarily not sinning, but doing what is right. And so we have the opposition of the mark of the beast, which is sin, is the mark of the Lamb, which is the Holy Spirit, the name written on the forehead. Okay? And so when we're talking about that, let's go back to Revelation 6 again here. So we're looking at that. See, people will reference a lot of times, and actually maybe they don't reference it, should be a better way to say. They might say, you know, the blood of Christ cleansed me or whatever. And that's important, and that has to happen to have the Holy Spirit. The blood of Christ has to cleanse us of our sins in order to have the Holy Spirit within us. But when Christ comes back, he's not looking for no sin. I'm not saying that there should be, but he's looking whether or not we're sealed with the Holy Spirit or not. And that's what Paul says in Hebrews or in Ephesians 4, is that the Holy Spirit is our seal for the day of redemption. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to be sinful. I'm not saying that. I'm saying is that someone can be good and not doing what's wrong, and they can really have quenched the Holy Spirit, and they don't have the Holy Spirit anymore. Grieving the Holy Spirit is not just not doing what is wrong. Grieving the Holy Spirit can be not growing in our character, not developing the character that we should be developing, not developing the character of Christ. So look in Revelation 6, verse 12 through 17. Okay, so we have the picture of those who are not sealed with the Holy Spirit. They want the mountains to fall on them. They want the mountains to crush them. They want the mountains to hide them from the presence of the Lamb. And now, obviously, that doesn't happen. But that's the desire that they want, because the wrath of the Lamb has come. This is a picture of judgment here. If you look at stuff like the sky split apart and every mountain was removed the kings, every group of people on earth is desiring the mountains to fall upon them. Okay, so it's not that having redemption now is important. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit, the day of redemption is not going to be a day that we're really going to enjoy. See, when we don't have it, the Holy Spirit is our seal for the day of redemption. It's God's stamp, if you will, on us to say, just like Pilate would seal the tomb, and this is by the authority of Pilate that this is done. God's authority, by the authority of God, we are redeemed. So that's the stamp, or that's the seal he's looking for. It's not necessarily, again, I mean, I'm not saying, it kind of goes back to last week's message, or last week's class, is that the unwholesome word isn't limited to only the swearing. It's deeper than that, okay? But it does include it, okay? So it's not that God is looking for the blood of the Lamb covering the heart, if you will. Not saying that doesn't include. He's looking for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit only dwells in a person who is already cleansed from sin by the blood of the Lamb. Okay, and so that's what he's looking for. He's looking for the Holy Spirit, and the one who is building the character through the help of the Holy Spirit, and the one who is not grieving the Holy Spirit, not just by not doing, by not just by refraining from bad things, but also one who is still doing, building the character through the help of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Close with this today. Verse 33 through 39.
Separate us from the love of Christ, or tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, just as it is written. For your sake, we are being put to death all that day, all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. 17?
Through 39, please.
Principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, so Paul writing here is talking and gives assurance to in his letter here that, hey, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who, if we are sealed, so like the idea of that going on, the idea of sealed there, when we're sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption, there's no one that can take that away. There's nobody that can make that separation, take that separation. We could quench the Holy Spirit. That'd be the only way that we would not have him for the day of redemption. But he's talking about there, When we're looking at, you know, who can separate us from Christ? Is there persecution or tribulation or famine? There's nothing can separate us from Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can take the seal away except us. So when we're looking at not grieving the Holy Spirit on one hand, is that in that warning, but also we need to understand that those who are growing and building character through the help of the Holy Spirit shouldn't have fear, because nothing can separate us from him, because we're sealed like Pilate's seal, but a stronger seal than Pilate, because the one who broke Pilate's seal was God, who is a lot higher than Pilate. But that seal that Pilate put on the tomb wasn't supposed to be broken, because he was the authority But, and so that picture there of God's seal there on us is not going to be broken. I mean, obviously outside of us quenching him, but if we are growing in character, that seal is not going to be broken. It goes a little bit with what Jared talked this morning, is that hope of the inheritance that is assured, the hope that it is not going to fade away, because that seal is our assurance of our redemption. See, we are redeemed now, but there's a redemption we're still waiting for, and the Holy Spirit is the assurance of that, not anything else. That's what God's looking for when He comes back. Is, hey, do we have the Holy Spirit? And if we didn't, did we grieve Him, or did we never have Him to start with? And if we didn't have Him, we can have assurance of that. Yes, Jeff. Yeah, that's good. I didn't bring that back, but James, like you mentioned, James 4:17. If we know what to do and don't do it, that actually is still a sin. You know, if we're not building character, okay, yeah, we're not murdering, we're not stealing, we're not doing this, but if we're not growing, and we choose not to, it's really a choice. There's no middle ground really. It's really a choice that we make in that. Anybody have any comments or anything? Right.
And it really, you know, we're responsible, I guess, for our own destiny, you could say. Mm-hmm. And that goes on both sides of it, too. I mean, before you're a Christian, I mean, tons of people can want you to do the right thing and want you to repent, mm-hmm. but until you choose to do it, it doesn't work.
Right.
And so we're really responsible, you know, for that all the way through. And, you know, nobody can give it to us, nobody can take it away except ourselves.
We can't pray each other into heaven, you're saying?
We can't, no, that's exactly what I'm saying, yeah.
Right.
You know, once we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, that's our responsibility to not break that seal. I guess.
Right.
Say.
Right.
So it's just like what you said before, how mm-hmm. you can fall out of mm-hmm. Christianity if you right. don't kindle the fire,
right.
so to speak, all the time for yourself. Then that's how you fall out. And then,
right.
And then you won't be choked.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of things we can look at growth. I mean, in ranching, something that doesn't continue to grow dies, you know. So, I mean, it's obviously there's a time period when, you know, when a cow is fully grown or a plant, but in farming, there's a limited time that the wheat starts going backwards after it's fully grown, you know, if it doesn't continue to grow up, you know. But. It's maybe not just it's not a horse necessarily that bucks you off all the time, but maybe it's a horse that you can't get up and do what you need to do, and it's just not useful anymore. Any other comments? Okay, we'll close there this week.